today, 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2. 4th of July, always a fun time. Today's an especially busy one as we look to the Lord together in His house. But also that parade, as was mentioned, we're trying to let others know about Christ. We're inviting everyone we can, the boys and girls, but on the other side of the flyer is the gospel too. So we're going to try and get the gospel in everybody's hands that's going to be there today. So pray for those who will be doing that, especially because of the heat. It was supposed to be a sunny and 70s day. How many remember that a few days ago? Wow, did the Lord turn the tables on us, but that's all right. He's going to give us the strength, and trust your prayers for that. By the way, before we read the Bible here in chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, those that are going to be in the parade, those that are participating going down, we do not have to get there as rush as we thought so. So we can get there a little later of a rush. But right away, we'll very quickly get ourselves changed and ready to go down in that area. But we don't have to be there at 11:30. We've found out a little bit later, but we'll try to get there as soon as possible. Anyway, 1 Peter chapter 2, look at verse 9 and 10 if you would with me. Would you read verse 9 and 10 with me? 1 Peter 2, verse 9 and 10, that's where we're at. Let's read those out loud together, please. Let's begin. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Thank you. Again, the Bible says, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation. And then it says, a peculiar people. A peculiar people. On the top of the United States Capitol Dome in Washington, D.C. stands the statue they call Lady Freedom. It's almost 20 feet high and it weighs 15,000 pounds. Her face is framed by a crest of stars, a shield of stars, and stripes are in her left hand, and on her right hand rests upon a sheathed sword ready to protect freedom. In 1858, Lady Freedom was shipped from Italy, and in a fierce storm, the ship's captain ordered cargo thrown overboard. When the sailors came to the heavy statue, the captain refused to throw it out. He shouted above the winds, "No, never, we'll flounder before we throw freedom away." I wish we had folks that had that kind of desire in our country today. We ought to have that kind of desire. Amen. That is what draws men to the United States, but more so the freedom that we can have as a peculiar people. The preamble to the United States Constitution starts with this: we the people of the United States. But I find it interesting here in the Bible in 1 Peter 2, it's as if God is sharing a preamble with us, a preamble for the born-again Christian, where he says, we the peculiar people. We the peculiar people. Peculiar doesn't mean strange or weird, but it does have an interesting meaning, and I trust it'll help us as we look at God's Word today when we discover we the peculiar people of God. That's the title if you're writing notes this morning, we the peculiar people of God. Would you bow with me and we'll ask God to help us before we go any further this morning. Lord, we thank you for, again, this wonderful day, the things that we commemorate, Lord, all the sacrifice of those that have gone before us, Lord. In a physical sense, we're grateful, Lord, and we're thankful. Of Jesus Christ, who provides the liberty in himself when we call on him, who provides the freedom to live for him through his Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray, help us to live like a Christian today in the United States of America. I ask you to bless this time together. Please fill me with your Spirit that these be your words. And not my own. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. We the peculiar people of God. Verse number 9 starts out telling us, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. As I mentioned, the word peculiar doesn't mean strange. It means this, a possession. Literally, purchased. Purchased. And doesn't that describe us so well? Purchased. A people that is purchased. Number one, I'd like to share with you this morning, peculiar people. Number one, stand out. Peculiar people, stand out. The Bible tells us that we are a purchased people of God. God's gift of salvation provides a personal relationship with Him. Sin infects everyone who's been born. None of us have been able to be inoculated by it. There's no vaccine for sin. The Bible tells us that in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In the Old Testament, David tells us he was conceived in sin. If he was conceived in sin, guess what you and I were? Same thing, same thing. He was born no different than you and I. The only person who wasn't conceived in sin was the Savior himself. Every one of us have to deal with sin. Sin infects everyone who's been born. Sin has no cure. There's no answer that man can come up with physically, in a sense, that man can take to cure sin. You and I, even if it was not in a vial, even if it wasn't something you could poke in your arm and somehow it goes away, the Bible tells us so many of us, so many people get this idea that good works, doing good things, charitable things is going to get us closer to God, closer to heaven. And many people do give. Praise the Lord for the giving. But God says that's not what's going to get you to heaven. A little bit earlier in our service, which we do every Sunday, we receive an offering and praise God for giving. That helps our church operate the way it does and look forward to some other things that God might lead us to do. But giving doesn't get us to heaven. Many people today grow up with this idea. They've been told, they've been taught falsely that some other great good work will help them, like going to church or getting baptized. I've shared many times, I was a little kid, my mother and father, they were trying to do what they were told was right, and that is to baptize little Mark. And they did, although he was not baptized. He was poured water over and given a bath, and that was it. Because according to God, that's a good work for the Christian, not for the unsaved. And that good work alone doesn't get you to heaven anyway. It has nothing to get us, nothing to do with getting us to heaven. God says sin is a problem that has to be taken care of, but it has no cure by man. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is, what's the next word? Death. Death. It's certain. It's not a probable. It's not a maybe. The Bible says it is death. Receiving Jesus gives us the new birth, however. John chapter 3, you might remember Jesus spoke to Nicodemus there. And John chapter 3, let's go take a look at it. Would you turn with me there, please? John chapter 3, one of the great passages about salvation, about how to receive Christ in the Bible. John chapter 3, this man who the Bible says was a learned ruler, one of the chief rulers, Jesus called him, in Israel, and yet he still was thinking wrongly when it came to salvation, the new birth. The Bible says receiving Jesus gives us a new birth. Here's what it says in verse number 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then, of course, Nicodemus thinking practically, well, how can I go back to my mother and get in her womb again? That's impossible. And he's right. You and I can't be born again physically, but we can be born again spiritually. Spiritually, brand new in God's family. The Bible says the way you do that is you receive Christ and what he did on the cross for you. The Bible says his payment at the cross was more than enough to cover all sinners who come to him. Jesus' blood, the Bible tells us, paid the price for you and me. One of my favorite songs, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Have you been saved? Have you received Christ? It's just a simple matter of receiving God's wonderful gift of salvation. As a sinner, the Bible says, I simply need to accept the fact that God, what God says is true. My sin demands a payment. That payment is eternity separated from God. First in a place called hell. If I draw my last breath today without Jesus, that's where I go. My soul is there. My spirit is there. Then the Bible says the day will come on the day of judgment that I will stand before God. The dead shall rise And those that have died without Christ, the Bible says, will rise and stand before God at his great white throne, the Bible says in Revelation. And at that throne, the Bible says God will judge man by his works, which proves that works aren't going to get us there. Works only condemn us more than anything. And because we relied on works, the Bible says we will be cast into a place called the lake of fire. Hell and death, the Bible says, will be cast into the lake of fire. That's where our destiny lies. Unless you receive Jesus as your Savior. God says, as many as received him, that is Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. New birth. Salvation adopts us into the family of God. Romans 8 and verse 15 says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit, Holy Spirit, of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Salvation adopts us into the family of God. We're learning a lot about adoption the last few years. Having Leland and Lily in our home, we love them. They love us. But there's going to come a time we're working towards where they become McCausowitzes. They're going to have to learn to write it and say it. Amen? Just like all you have, right? We're looking forward to that day. But it's an arduous day. It's an arduous task, we're finding out. And when man tries to adopt, it takes time, it takes effort, and sometimes it takes money. But when Jesus paid the price for us, the Bible says, when we simply ask for it, we're in the family of God. Amen? Amen? That's what it takes when God does something. The Bible says that God's gift of salvation provides a personal relationship, and Christ's gift of the Holy Spirit provides the ability to live for Jesus. Galatians chapter 5, would you go there please? Galatians chapter 5. Let's keep our finger in 1 Peter and go to Galatians chapter 5. And looking at verse number 22. Galatians 5:22 begins the fruit of the Spirit. The Bible says here in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit as we yield ourselves to him, is, here it is, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, he says in verse 25, let us also walk in the Spirit. Walk, simply a word in the Scriptures, when it talks about walking, it simply means obeying. We're doing what God says, doing what Jesus says to do. And as we obey, as we honor him, as we yield our lives, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit provides ability to live for Jesus Christ. Look at all those wonderful things, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, all the rest. Now, the Bible tells us here that the fruit of the Spirit is, and there's nine of them there, but the word fruit is not plural. The word fruit is singular. You can have a piece of fruit, or you can have a basket of fruit, and it's full of different items there, but here in the Bible, the word fruit is singular. Singular. If our life is yielded to the Spirit, we'll have all these things displayed in our life. Love, joy, peace, all of them, meekness, temperance, they'll all be there as we yield to the Lord. Peculiar people, that's peculiar. That's peculiar. Those are different, and they stand out in a great way. Number two, let's go back to 1 Peter. Peculiar people, the Bible says, reach out. Reach out. Again, look at verse number 9. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The Bible says that we would show forth the praises of him. Reach out. Peculiar people, reach out. The Bible says, how do we do that? A couple things on that this morning. We reach out, number one, by passing on God's word. Reach out by passing on God's word. Psalm 78, when God, as God inspired his word, he wanted generations to know that previous generations had tried to pass it on to them and that they should do the same. Psalm 78, verse 5 and verse 6 says this, For he established a testimony in Jacob, talking about God the Father, and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. Many look back in the 1960s, 1950s, when the Word of God and prayer were being attacked and withdrawn from the public schools. How many remember those types of things going on? Can I tell you something? It started long before that. It started long before that, because the Word of God has always been under attack. Do you know that? It has always been. Praise God for generations in America who tried to hold to the Bible, who tried to hold to God and His statutes. Not everyone was a Christian who signed the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution, but they all, from what I understand in history, had a respect and an honor to God. It was peer pressure. Peer pressure. In our country at one time, there was peer pressure to live a Christian life, and many turned their life over to Christ. Well, we're in a day today where the peer pressure is to live a life opposed to God. You look in the newspaper. Are there newspapers anymore? TV ads, media the internet. It's constantly riddled with things that are abominations to God, that God is opposed to. Immorality, false living, false teaching, all those things, that is what's being advertised today. When if we could go back 100, 120 years ago, it was God's Word that was in the media at the time, much often, but it's different today. And yet the responsibility is still there for you and me, friends, to pass on the Word of God. And not just to our children, but to anyone who would listen. Amen? Anyone who would listen. That we have God's very words in our hands, and that we have a place where we can look to at any time and know that we know what's right and what's wrong, according to God and His Word. Reach out by passing on God's Word, and reach out by enlisting others in God's work. The Bible says that we are to show forth His praises. What did Jesus do? When he came to this earth and started his ministry, one of the first things he did, he began to gather men to him. Later he called them disciples, later apostles. He trained them, and through them, through the power of the Holy Spirit, they did the same. And here we are thousands of years later now, and God used generations who were willing to not just do something for God, but take along others to train them to do the same. Reach out by enlisting others in God's Word. Would you look in 2 Timothy chapter 2 with me, please? 2 Timothy chapter 2. And looking at verse number 2. What did I do with that? There it is. I put it there so I wouldn't have to turn around. Amen? And look for it. 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 2. Here's what the Bible says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach, listen, others also, who will teach others to do what you're teaching them to do. The Bible says to reach out by enlisting others in God's work. What do we teach others in our Christian walk? As you grow, as you're beginning to discern and live for Christ, what are some things you can share with others to do? I think one of the easiest things we can do for others is teach them how to pray. Teach them how to pray. If they know how to read, they can read the Bible, but they need to learn how to pray. Amen? That's what the disciples came to Jesus and asked him to do. Would you please teach us how to pray? Teach us how to pray. And prayer is our greatest connection to God in a spiritual sense, calling on Him, seeking His face, sensing His Holy Spirit. God says He wants to hear from you and from me. Is prayer a priority in your life? The Bible says, reach out, be peculiar. Another thing, submitting to Jesus. Submitting to Jesus. Lord, what you say, I will do. What you say, I will do. That not my will, like He said to the Heavenly Father, not my will, but thine, Lord, whatever you choose. Submitting to Jesus. Discipling others. Discipling others. Hey, train them what to do, what you've known to do. Here's what it is to be a Christian. Got to be in God's Word. Pray. Hey, when I come to, I got to go to church. Got to be in God's house. God says He wants me to give to the ministry and help in the necessitating his desire to reach others. Witnessing, etc. That's another one. Witnessing, something we can share with others. What we're going to do today, witnessing throughout that parade and other times. And then just Christian living. Christian living. You know, it's not the same to have a home as to have a Christian home. A Christian home is living the way God says that Jesus would live in that home, where a home is, well, we're together. We coexist, as a lot of people say, we coexist. No, we don't want to do that. As Christians, God wants us to gather together, even in our home, under the cover of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what he wants. He wants us to live for him as a family and then continue to grow that in our church and beyond. And then simply to glorify God. Glorify God. God says in 1 Corinthians 10, whatsoever ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, what? Do all to the glory of God. Glory of God. How's God going to get glory out of this? And friends, I'm here to tell you, maybe it's easy for you. Sometimes I've got to really consider, all right, what do I need to do to get glory for God? Sometimes it's easy to get glory for ourselves or others. That's what our flesh sees. But God says, listen, bring to a point where I get the glory and not any others. Peculiar people, reach out, reach out. Number three, peculiar people, the Bible says, are called out, are called out. Here's what it says in verse number 9 and 10. He says, a royal priesthood that you should show forth, a peculiar people that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which is in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Aren't you thankful God is calling you out of a life of the world and into a life with him? Amen. That's what he desires out of you and me. Peculiar people are called out. The Bible talks about the generation here. Each generation will choose what they commit to. You know, this generation is going to be known for something. The COVID generation, is going to be known for something. As Christians, God says, listen, here's what I want you to do. Get out of the darkness and get into the light of my son, Jesus Christ. Psalms 11 and verse 3 says this, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Sadly, if we turn away from the Lord, if we put his things aside, we know what's going to happen. It's happened in history. It will happen in the future if it continues that way. Here's what happened to Israel. Judges chapter 2 and verse number 10. Remember Joshua and all the Israelites and how God used them to conquer the land and at least begin the victory over Canaan. Well, in Judges chapter 2, the Bible says, as that generation began to die off, Joshua and all those that were with him saw the works of God, things began to change in the land of Israel. Judges 2:10 says, and also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And you know the story, if you've read the Bible, Judges is a sad commentary on the land of Israel, a people that turned away from God because one generation didn't pass it on to the next one. Do we see how important this is, everybody? How important it is to pass on the Lord to others, to live the life that God says so that not just us, but those behind us can see what God and live for him can do. Following God's will strengthens the nation. In 1831, Alexis de Tocqueville famously wrote this, America is great because America is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. I don't know about you, but here in 2021, I see the foundations being attacked. I see the foundations not by outward countries or far-off lands, but from within. That the statutes and the morals that have been established for hundreds of years now in America are being questioned or erased. But friends, not everybody's doing that. Not everybody's doing that. We need to get in our minds and understand that not everybody's doing that. And God can still work through us. Amen? He can still work through us. I don't know if we can change a nation, but we can change maybe our next door neighbor. We can change maybe something going on in our own family, in our own home. we can have influence and honor the Lord and help others see the same. Here's what the Bible says, Psalm 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. We got to get the word out. God's got to be the Lord. Amen? God needs to be the Lord, the God of the Bible. America needs it today. And that brings me to my final thought. America's hope today is to turn to the Lord. America's hope is to turn to the Lord. Would you turn with me to Hosea, the Old Testament, Hosea chapter 10. Hosea is the first of what writers have called the minor prophets, simply because it's a shorter prophecy book, as the ones that follow it are. Hosea was a prophet during the time when Israel, in the land of Israel, not Judah, but Israel, was disobedient to God, of course. The Bible tells us there were no godly kings in the land of Israel while Israel was ruler of it. And Hosea gives us a commentary from God that at that time, things needed to change or there was trouble to come. Not from mankind, not from the world, but from the Lord himself. Hosea chapter 10, would you look at verse number 12 with me, please? Let's read that together. Would you read that with me? Hosea 10 and verse number 12. Let's read it out loud, please. Let's begin. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. He was looking back and looking ahead. He's looking back to the sinful ways of Israel, the way that they had turned from the Lord without giving their whole heart to the Lord. And he was looking ahead. The Savior's coming. The Messiah's going to come. And let's be ready for him. He says, here's what we need to do. We need to seek righteousness. We need to turn the fallow ground of our own heart and give it over to God. Kind of sounds like seeking revival, doesn't it? Kind of sounds like seeking the Lord's help to do something that mankind just can't do himself. 1 Peter chapter 4, would you look there please with me as we close this morning. America's hope today is to turn to the Lord. And I'm not talking about everybody in Washington, D.C. I'm not talking about all those liberals and those conservatives that we're a little shaky on. I'm talking about us. Turn to the Lord today. 1 Peter 4, look at verse number 17. Here's what it says. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. Not Washington, D.C., not the Roman emperors, but the people who claim Christ. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Friends, can we see that God's answer for what's going on in our nation is that we turn to him 100%. That we turn to him 100%. Someone put it this way, when God has everything of you, he can do anything through you. When God has everything of you, he can do anything through you. I don't know what the Lord has for the future for us, but I know this, I don't want to go in the future without him. How about you? How about you? God says, let's turn to him today. Heavenly Father, help us to be that peculiar people. But right now, help us to look inside, as that is your desire, that we examine ourselves. See if we be those peculiar people you talk about, the ones who stand out, the ones who reach out. Lord, the ones who are willing to be called out. Father, I pray, help us to see our humility is necessary to see not just a nation, but our very lives and homes to be honoring to thee. I pray you would get the glory at this very moment for what we're about to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, please. Would you stand with me, please? The piano's going to play softly the song we're going to sing in just a moment. When I ask them to play, I wanted to ask you this. Would you be willing to ask the Lord, examine me, examine me. Break up the fallow ground, Lord. Plant a new desire, the new desire that Jesus desires in me to honor and live for you. That this would be a special day, not because of what's on the calendar, but because of what you say in your word. Would you be willing to do that? The altar is open. You can pray right there at your seat. But let's let God have his way as the piano begins to play that song softly as we sing. Maybe you're here this morning and you truly need simply to receive that gift of salvation, to receive Christ. Is that your need? Will you do that today? I've got my Bible. We've got others who can help quickly share with you how Jesus can be your Savior. Song is number 408. Would you turn there with me as Brother Doug comes and leads us in that song, 408? Not my will, but thine. Thank you for being with us this morning, and trust the Lord will bless your forth. If you're going to be out there at the parade, encourage us when we go by. Maybe spray some water on us or something. That would be helpful probably. But pray for us as we try to reach boys and girls, families, so forth, with these invitations. Again, after we pray, guys, those guys that are going will change over at the modular building. The ladies will be here in the church building to change in the clothes they need. And hopefully you brought something to eat. We do have time for that. That's why I mentioned earlier we don't have to be in as much of a rush. A rush, but not as much of a rush before we go. So let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer. And then we'll be dismissed. And God bless you on this 4th of July. I'm going to ask Brother Dan Helmick, would you please close out our morning with prayer.
Boys and girls.